Welcome, welcome, welcome. Joe, you never seem to get the timing down, man.
I'm a bad on the intro. Just horrible.
It's okay. We'll still bring you back anyway. Jack and No Trades here. What's up, Tay? What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I enjoyed the Oscar mess up last night. I thought that was funny.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you watch?
You revel in people's failures and uncomfortable situations.
I saw the clip. I was following it on Twitter, but no, I didn't watch it. But I just think it's funny because I just like that La La Land had to kind of suffer a little bit, you know.
And you finally saw it.
Yeah.
You guys were all La La Land out last week. It was the best thing to ever hit the movie theaters. And now you're reveling in its demise.
Okay, so I actually saw it last week. I got guilted into it because they're like, how can you talk about this movie if you haven't seen it? Which is kind of fair. So
yeah, good point.
So I went and saw it, and I like musicals, and it was a good musical.
What did you just say?
I like musicals.
Okay, I just wanted to be able to isolate that audio and get a new ringtone out of it. Okay, go on.
How many musicals have you been in your life, Taylor?
I don't think I've ever been in a musical.
Okay, how many have you been in, Joe?
Three.
Oh, right. Okay, I forgot.
But that has more to do with me being a huge loser and not being able to do anything else in high school than... you know, my love of the theater. Go on.
But the theater. I do love Sound of Music. It's one of my favorite movies for all the lovelies out there.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen it, so there's that.
Ever?
It was played in, like, I was in band in middle school, much to my wife's delight. And when the teacher was gone one day, we had to watch Sound of Music in class. And I just sat in the back and tried to flirt with girls. Emphasis on tried. So,
mm-hmm.
On band girls. So yeah. You weren't the only loser in school, Joe.
I didn't say all people in theater were losers, but I just couldn't do anything else. So that's what I did.
Well, did you watch Oscars, Joe?
I did not. Not 1 second.
Wow.
Not 1 minute. Not 1 hour of it.
So I thought, you know, we did a whole podcast on it. I was like, you know what? You got to at least watch now. You made all these predictions.
Just to be clear, I haven't seen any of the movies that were nominated either.
None
I guess Zootopia. Zootopia, oh, I saw.
That's a good one.
I don't believe I saw any of the other movies, so it really wasn't for me. But anyways, go ahead.
So I was like, I better tune in just to see, you know, just kind of curious. And I was doing other stuff when it was on, and it's so freaking long. There is no set time for that thing to end. Honestly, no one knows. You actually can bet on it to see how long it'll last in Vegas, I think. So I watched most of it, and by the end, it is like pulling teeth. And I was pretty stoked that Casey Affleck won. I got to see Denzel be super pissed when he got the award, which I thought was hilarious. And then we get to Best Picture, and I'm sorry. I didn't realize how famous the old couple was up on stage. Betty Warren and
Warren Beatty in Faye Dunaway.
Sorry.
Gosh.
My knowledge of film is like 1990 and on. It's nothing before. So
didn't you see Dick Tracy?
No.
Sorry. Well, that's the last thing I saw. I think that may be the only Warren Beatty movie I've ever seen.
So yeah, don't take anything from me on films here. I'm definitely not an expert. But the second he got the envelope, he opened it up. He looked real confused, and then the lady grabbed it, and she's just like, ah, La La Land, and I was like, and I'm done. I turned it off, and I went to sleep, and Natalie, my wife, was like, don't you want to just see the end? I mean, might as well, and I was like, nah, I'm bored. Like, I'm sick of this. I'm done. What are they going to do? They were just on stage like 2 minutes ago for Best Director, and put it away, and I wake up, and in the biggest mishap in Oscar history, Moonlight wins the award over La La Land. I was like, mother fuck, missed it. Rewatched it. Oh, damn it. Something actually interesting happened at the end, and they had to cover it up, and that the one, I think it was the producer from La La Land was real forceful, like, Moonlight won. It won. You guys won it. Get up here. Friends, come up. And I was like, oh, that would have been so funny. So I suck.
I blew it.
That's the second. That's the second time you've done that, because remember at the Super Bowl you turned it off at the start of the fourth quarter.
Oh, which
and
one?
Went to sleep. This last one.
Oh, yeah. I actually was stroking myself to a Tom Brady poster during. I'm just kidding. Are you though?
He's amazing.
I'm not. Taylor's the Tom Brady guy. I'm not.
I love him.
Oh my God.
I just. Watch that. You didn't even watch the Super Bowl, did you, Joe? You gave up on the
NFL.
I did.
It was the only NFL game I've watched all year.
So. Have we talked about the NFL with you before, Joe?
No, because I was taking a break, remember?
Okay.
So I've been since, what, at 91, when I was very young.
Good year.
Yeah, great year. I think that was the year. Barry Sanders was just the man in college. And I had a flirtation with the Rams in my youngest years because of an uncle that was a Rams fan. Anyways, when Barry Sanders came out, I just kind of followed him and became a Lions fan. And boy, that has been decades of success.
Whoa.
And thrilling. Anyways, when Megatron retired last year, my good friend Eric Rose said, you know, since you lost Ndamukong Suh last year and Megatron this year, I'm going to give you the golden ticket. He says, if you want to change teams, you have every right to do so. And so instead of changing teams, I just went to be a free agent. I took a year off from the NFL, and it was lovely. I don't think I missed a thing.
So this is your friend Eric that gave you this ticket?
Yes.
Does he accept new clients? Can he reassign me to a new team?
There's a lot of criteria you have to follow. I mean, you can't just switch from team to team, and that was one of the things that – that he gave you. So, for instance, his deal is, believe this crappy story, he's a huge Vinny Testaverde fan. Mostly as a joke. Yeah, so he followed Vinny Testaverde from like the Browns to the Jets to, not, I don't think he went to the Cowboys, but you know, just kind of around, and then ended up with the Jets, and then Vinny retired, and so he's stuck on the Jets.
What's
so
with I guess people this... liking shitty Jets quarterbacks? I mean, Taylor's over there looking at a Geno Smith poster right now.
Yeah.
He's a great player, dude. He's got a great work ethic.
What?
He's a terrible player. He's the worst player in the NFL. So, anyways, that's more NFL talk than I thought I'd ever do, but especially on this podcast since I know nothing. Unless you want to talk fantasy football, and then I'm the man.
You know, going back to the Oscars mess up, the a fun fact about that is I learned today at work. So I work for an accounting firm. The big four accounting firms are in charge of all these award shows.
Right.
And they're supposed to be in charge of the envelopes. Okay. they're in charge of the envelopes. So they're kind of the reason why it happened that the presenters got the wrong envelope. So
PwC dropping the
ball. So it's interesting.
Damn it.
Did you know, and is this true? I don't know if this is true, but you cannot bet on Oscar winners. Vegas won't take bets on who's, you know, gonna win best actor because they don't allow gambling if someone, just even one person in the world, knows the right answer. So I don't think you can bet on that. Is anybody?
You're probably.
I didn't know that.
Because there's one you know person that has to write the envelopes and knows the answer, and hypothetically, they could be unethical and clear the house out.
So Bill Simmons' podcast today was talking all about the Oscars, and he brought up a point about why can't we see the vote totals for any of this? Like that would be so interesting to see who won by what margin.
Yeah, see if it was,
like,
close.
Who was close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's 10 films up for grabs, you know, that could potentially win. So seeing how the votes are split would be really interesting just to know, not for no other purposes, you know?
Probably because they don't want you to know that Denzel got zero votes, you know, or something like that.
He goes all equalizer on them and fines those people.
That's just one example. I mean, it's great to see the margin of victory, but what about the people at the bottom who didn't get any votes and...
Well,
it's more controversy. So
for me, it's like you were there, like you were listed. So that'd be enough for I think most people. Some you're right. Denzel might be a little pissed.
I mean, boy, they use that, as would I. I mean, for the rest of their career, Academy Award nominee.
Oh yeah, yeah. You freaking ride that
Academy
to the
bank. Award. Yeah, Academy Award winner Marissa Tomei in What Women Want or something, you know, generations after.
I read it.
My thought, I didn't watch, as I already said, but when I got on social media late last night, and of course everyone was posting about it, my first thought was, oh, the memes coming out of this are going to be so awful. I was just full of dread of what everybody was going to be, you know, the hilarious
they're
memes.
In full swing. Hey, memes are great. Today. Don't be dissing on memes.
Well, that's how I get all my political opinions, via memes. So, no, but that's, like, what can Dos Equis guy tell me about gun control? That's how I...
Let's be real. We can't ever just have a moment now. You have a moment, and then it's dissected and spinned a million ways through meme culture now.
The funniest meme I've seen from the Oscars was Mahershala Ali. Is that how you say his name? The guy who won Best Supporting?
I think so.
It was him in Moonlight in the water, but instead of like a dead body, it was like an Oscar trophy he was like holding in the water. It was pretty funny. No, but
yeah, was it pretty funny or was it mean?
It was funny. It was funny. But I read a story last week. There's a guy who's been nominated 21 times without ever getting an award at the Oscars.
But I think he won this year.
Did he?
He broke his streak. Yeah, he was like a sound mixing or editing person.
How do you get nominated 21 times?
Meryl Streep has lost Best Supporting and Best Actress 17 times.
Oh my gosh. So, that means there's 17 Meryl Streep movies that I have not seen.
That means there's more than 17 Meryl Streep movies on this earth. Oh my gosh. Why?
Boy, I don't
yikes. Know. All right. Well, we won't bore everybody.
Wait, I mean, in my you know, your daydreams, I always think that I can win a Grammy Award because there are Grammy Awards for best liner notes and best box set design, and I think, man, one day I'm going to do that. I'm going to design a sweet box set, and then everyone will have to refer to me as Grammy Award winning Joe. So that'd be cool.
That's a bucket list right there.
Yeah, I don't think no one's ever asked me to design a box set, so probably not going to happen. Nor have I ever even done an art project that warranted turning in. But you know, maybe if I apply myself one day, I can.
I feel like
something.
A Golden Globe's the easiest. I feel like everybody gets a Golden Globe at some point. In showbiz.
I don't know. I was looking at the Grammy list, and not to bash on any genre, but like the rap category, literally each song had like 26 names associated with it because it was just so many people involved. And I was like, oh, I just got to get into some sweet rap group. I'll get a Grammy like that. Easy peasy. Oh, well, not that we can't talk about the Oscars for any more time, because I think we've spent enough time for a year on this topic.
See you next January.
We need to talk about something a little more personal. Something that affects all of us to our core. Tay, I'm talking about revenge.
Yes. I love it.
Yes, that's right. Jack of No Trades, we're going to have a freaking podcast on revenge. All things revenge. So if you've got some hate in your heart, and you want to even the score with somebody, you're in the right place.
I'm just going to stop you right there. I must have misread the email. Is it just revenge? Because I have all my notes here about Revenge of the Sith, the wonderful Star Wars prequel movie. So.
You've been hanging out with Jeff, dude?
Yeah. All right. So it's just revenge? All right. I'll scrap this and... I'll go by the seat of my pants.
If you want to talk about Anakin Skywalker, I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
I don't.
That's
fine. I do not. I don't. I'm good. Revenge.
How did this happen? Let's just have this discussion now. How did we even get here to have this talk? I don't even know.
Joe pitched it.
Did you throw out revenge?
I've been thinking a lot about it. I've been thinking about and
whoa,
and not me personally. But I've been thinking about John Wick a lot and how awesome that is. And then what a great, it's almost like a sure thing. If you make a movie about revenge, we're all in.
Someone's watching.
And so, I don't know. It just kind of spurred from that thought. And then like, what are great revenge movies? What are great, you know, moments of revenge in my life? And what does... Should I be involved in revenge in my heart, or should I just let it go?
So. Wow. It's deep. I don't think you can get more simplistic than the first John Wick movie as far as revenge goes. They killed his dog and stole his car. That's all it took. That's it.
Yep.
He had to settle the score.
But it seems like he did more than just settling the score. I mean, they...
What?
Well, let's... He killed a dog and took a car that he got back, right? Didn't he get the car back?
He killed a puppy. It wasn't just a dog. It was a
he gets the
puppy.
Car back in chapter two, right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. So, if it was... If you're going revenge eye for an eye, he killed like 18 people in that one scene when they broke into his house. I mean, that seems like the score has been settled. I mean, I'm all in on John Wick. I hope John Wick 3 comes out tomorrow. I thought it was fantastic, but it just seemed a little extreme for killing a small dog.
Definitely. Well, yeah. But that was it was more than just a dog, right? It was his connection to his wife, the last living connection to his wife. You know?
It's what the dog represented.
So, exactly. That they played that off really well, because if it would have just been a puppy and then he did that, you might have pushed it a little bit for me. But it was delivered after her death. You know, it was planned. It was very touching.
And you know, when I think back about the original John Wick, that's the only real story in the whole movie is that little small arc. And then the rest is revenge. And he just... creates a bloody swath through the city, and it's pretty rad, actually. It was great because there wasn't like love lost. He didn't have a love interest that was, you know, kidnapped, or at least I don't remember that, or you know, they broke up over, you know, a misunderstanding, and then got together at the end. No, he was just getting revenge and taking out as many people in that cartel that he could.
Right. Yeah. Well, Tay, you're a person that is a very transactional person. You keep the score on everything in your life, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I was reflecting on my own life, and I couldn't come up with many situations where I felt like I had gotten revenge on someone. At least that it was in a way that it was, like, memorable. Have you had a moment of revenge in your own life?
I don't know. I was thinking more about, like, grudges than, like... exacting revenge on people. And I have a moment of a grudge that I still hold to this day.
So you still haven't gotten your comeuppance?
No, I haven't.
The matter.
When I was in fifth grade, I had this friend named Christian.
Okay.
And we were at school one day. So it was me, him, and then this Filipino kid. It's important.
Why is that important?
It's important that he's Filipino. So we're just young boys up at recess, and like we start like fake fighting, right? Like how boys do, like just kind of like messing around. And I start, and I'm like fake kicking the Filipino kid when he's on the ground.
Is your foot?
I'm not hitting him. Okay. Just like air kicking, like a joke or whatever. But then,
gotcha.
So then a principal sees it. Calls us in, and my friend, our so-called friend Christian, says I was beating up this Filipino kid. I flipped him off, and I was saying racial slurs at him.
What did you say under your breath when he turned you into the principal?
I was like, oh, I'm not. gosh. I said things I shouldn't have. I'm trying to... anyway, I got back... I don't know if they still do this. I got what's called a referral. And I don't know what that means, but I know that if you got two referrals, you'd get suspended from school. And they told
it's a weird word to use for a discipline.
Right. I don't...
When it's like a good thing in business.
Exactly. I don't really know what happened. But I didn't talk to that kid again from that day. Because... if you lose my trust, it's gone permanently. So
it's over.
I shunned him. I wouldn't speak to him. I wouldn't acknowledge him. And
so you didn't do anything to this kid after. You just hated him from afar.
I thought about it. I never did anything. But I had a whole plan. I was like, I don't know. It got kind of dark, but you know.
Oy.
But
yikes.
Yeah, I was taught not to exact revenge on people, but I've thought a lot about it.
You were taught not to exact revenge by some wise ancient oriental master that taught you
called
the ways.
My mom and dad.
Oh, okay.
It
just
sounded
like you had some training.
But I was an angry kid. I would fight people if they fought me. So
isn't that weird? Because how long ago was that? That had to have been 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And the fact you still remember this, and I bet you get a little pissed just talking about it.
I do.
Right?
It sucks being betrayed like that.
Why are we so like vengeful as people? Like we as humans, we just get pissed and it just sticks with us. And until something happens of equal detriment to that other person, it's like we don't think it's right.
Well, I think...
Right. It's like, I hurt, so I want you to hurt as much. Comparative suffering. I want you to hurt because I'm hurt. And it's not fair that you got to hurt me, so I'm going to try to hurt you.
So I'm in a organizational behavior class right now in a college. It's like a business psychology class, and they talk about equity theory, right? Uh-huh. That when we perceive an injustice, we don't feel right until that's been accounted for and fixed. And so we'll continue feeling unhappy and dissatisfied until we feel that there's been justice served. So I think that's where revenge comes from.
But in most cases, go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, is justice ever really served? I mean, does it do anything? Like going back to the John Wick example, killing all those men, although as great as it was, didn't bring the dog back.
Right.
Didn't bring that connection to his wife back. And I doubt, and we'll get into this later, but do you ever really feel like you've accomplished something with revenge? Like, are you like, yes, that person hurts because I hurt, and now we're both miserable. So there.
Boom. We're better.
The Dr. Phil answer is no, but the real answer, I think, is yes.
Do you feel better about your revenge on this experience in elementary school? Did that make you
feel
better?
I felt like it was deserved. I think when people are treated poorly when they didn't deserve it, that doesn't make anyone feel good. But when they've wronged you, so you wrong them back, I think at the like the most basic level, that part of you feels good after that.
By this line of thinking, that's why so many people in gangs are getting killed, because somebody killed somebody else for whatever reason, and so the people left get their vengeance because they lost a loved one. They kill somebody, and it just keeps going and going and going and going until you don't even remember how it started, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying that living a life of revenge is advisable by any means, because you're right, it never stops, right? Because it just escalates and escalates until...
But here's my thought.
Until somebody dies. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's my thought with revenge, though, is that I'm going to argue that probably 90% of all cases, there is no revenge. There's just people being wronged, and they're pissed about it, just like you with this Christian kid, right?
Yeah.
You didn't actually do anything to him, but you would love to see it. And so filmmakers, musicians, video games are able to tap into these feelings we have where we want to make things right, but we can't or we won't. And it just feeds our psychology of just like, yes, yes, indulge this part of myself. Get revenge. I need it. When it's really actually just misplaced, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really, maybe this isn't the right word, but what you're seeking is retribution.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, you stole something of mine, my car. I want my car back, and you get your car back, and that's what you want. But instead, you've got to kind of turn the knife a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, you stole my car, and I want to get my car back and take your car so you know how it feels, you know, the hurt that I have. But you really don't want your car back. You want to inflict the pain on the other person.
So is there a difference between revenge and retribution, or like evening the score? Does revenge imply something more sinister and just wrong, or can revenge be justified?
I mean, I don't know if this is right, but it always seems like revenge has to do with some sort of physical injury or harm.
I think it's personal. I think that's the difference.
You know, could be.
But so you're getting your, so let's say somebody keys your car, okay?
Okay.
And they don't do anything about it to fix it. They're like, yeah, I keyed your car. And you're like, okay, fine. And you go and key their car. Did you get revenge? Or is that just you like, okay, now we're even. You did this to me, so I can do this to you.
I think revenge is more of an emotion than anything. Okay. I think retribution is more of an action or something you do. So like keying the car would be the retribution, but your emotions behind it could be varied.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So do we have an example in film or TV of something like where like revenge was done or versus retribution? Like where they just evened what had happened versus like they went after like an emotional like vengeance.
I think Kill Bill is a great revenge story.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because that's her getting back at the group of assassins she used to work for who betrayed her and killed her.
So basically, it's any Tarantino movie, right?
Yeah, basically any Tarantino movie's revenge story. But that is straight up personal, I'm going to kill you, like, because of what you did to me. So I think that's a great example of revenge in film.
Was she justified for all those that have seen Kill Bill?
She kills a lot of people in those movies. But I don't know. It's hard. It's hard when you, especially when you're talking about mercenaries, people who are hired killers. It's kind of hard to like, it's kind of gray, you know, because they're not good people. It's not like she's not killing innocent people. So, you know, the world's probably not any worse off from all of her murders. So I'd say she's justified. Sure.
What about you, Joe? What movies come to mind when you're thinking a revenge plot?
The best revenge movie of all time is The Count of Monte Cristo.
It's on my list. Good choice.
I love that movie. And it's so good. And it's because it's a slow burn.
It is. I
mean, he comes back. Edmond Dantès comes back. And he could have his, you know, revenge immediately, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He lets it simmer. And it's the old adage, revenge.
The dish best served cold.
Oh, okay, great. So, I mean, you can have your road rage and get your whatever you need, you know, immediately. But Edmond Dantès in The Count of Monte Cristo, he takes his time. And there's that scene when he brings that wagon full of gold and jewels and buys the castle and then invites everyone. And then he has that sweet scene where he comes in on a hot air balloon and comes down and he whips his cape around. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest guy. And he still doesn't reveal himself for another hour because he lets it simmer and he sets it up so great. And then when he finally does get his revenge, you know, it seems at least to be worth it.
Epic.
I think that's a good example because revenge isn't necessarily violent, you know? I mean, he got his revenge by making everyone his bitch back when he was down on his luck, you know? And like, I think road rage too. I mean, I've had people cut me off and I'm like, I hope they just get in a massive car accident right now. They're speeding. I'm like, I hope a cop pulls them over right now. And sometimes it happens.
That's what I always think.
And I just
think.
Feel so good every time it happens.
It's a level of fairness, right? It's fair, finally.
Yeah. You know, this is going in a little different direction, but I was thinking about road rage the other day as I have a little bit of a commute. And how angry I get, you know, when somebody's does something that makes me mad. And then I cut somebody off the other day. Didn't see them, but they were in my blind spot. Oh, no, excuse me. They cut me off. And I kind of had that. Yeah, that's important to this story. Anyways, they cut me off, and I was all mad. And then they realized. And so the guy kind of waved at me, you know, kind of like a, hey, hey, sorry about that. And my anger just went immediately away. You know, he was like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, man, what if I had, you know, let my emotions get the best of me and like just done a little boop you know, tap on him because he was that close, you know, or done something stupid, tried to speed up and you know, yell and scream at him, give him the bird like people do all the time. And I was like, well, that he just dissipated this entire incident with just a wave of his hand, you know, because I could tell. So,
well, it was obviously a pure accident on his part, you know, and and you didn't know that because we had
no idea.
When we're driving, I think everyone takes things personal, just unless you're, I don't know, the 10% that doesn't. Going back to the count, that he does wait a long time to reveal himself, but he was freaking gone for how many years before? And just the patience there, because wasn't it like 10 years or something?
Yeah, it's forever. I mean, just to talk about how great that movie/book is, he's got that plan with the old guy to get out of prison, and they scoop little bits of dirt and put it in their meal dish, and they work on it for years and years, and that's not even how he gets out. He doesn't even use that way. It's like he put in all that effort, and then there's a much easier way to get out in the...
The guy died and he got in his body bag.
Yeah.
Easy. So. And then you look at it the other way. You could look at Joseph from the Bible, who gets sold to Egypt, right? By his brothers. And many years pass and he gains favor with the Pharaoh. Shows you, well, I know the Bible. And eventually his family comes back seeking refuge. The same people that sold him away and left him for dead. And what does he do? He brings them into his home and he treats them fantastically and he gets no revenge. So there's the real moral, guys. Just be a good person, even though people treat you like shit.
Well, you know what Confucius says about revenge? Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves.
Oh,
because you know what? You're just going to end up killing yourself. So there you go. Boom.
Deep. So,
hey. Anyways, before, are we still going to talk about movies of revenge?
I had one I wanted to say.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what are your guys' thoughts on Shawshank Redemption?
It's not that great. No, it's incredible.
Of course. Yeah, obviously the movie's incredible. But his, like, what he did. Now, did he, with the warden, was that his way of getting revenge? Or was that just him just like, yeah, you deserve this. Like, this is just what... should happen to you, exposing him for everything. And what are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is, right? I mean, I didn't think that's not one that came to mind, but yeah, that is the retaliation for the, you know, the what he'd gone through in prison to get back at him. I guess so.
Tay?
Yeah, I think the revenge plot's a little muddled there. I mean, because I don't think... His beef for getting thrown in prison wasn't with the warden. I mean, the warden was an asshole, but I mean, like, that wasn't like his main villain. I think he was doing that, one, for all the other inmates who were there behind to make their quality of life better.
But remember, he had a way out when the one inmate comes in, and he knew he had a testimony that could get him off. And the warden found that out, and he was in too deep with Tim Robbins' character.
I guess that's true.
So he had he had the one guy killed off, and then he had to work for him all those years after. And so for me personally, it was just the classiest, most perfect way to just, you know, even the score. Because he didn't have to do everything he did exposing the warden when he broke out. Because him escaping wasn't... reliant on telling him the warden was bad, you know, and doing horrible things. He could have bailed and just left the warden there to do whatever he was doing. But like you said, he took it to this next level, exposing him and making all that money off of his deals he was doing. I don't know. I thought it was a very classy way to do it if you were to do it.
Are there sometimes in movies where revenge is painted? I mean, we always side with the revenger, you know, Tim Robbins or Edmond Dantès, Jim Caviezel's character, or things like that. But what
Inigo
about
Montoya?
Revenge? Yeah, Inigo Montoya. That's right. I was going to bring that up. So we always side with the revenger, but is sometimes revenge the bad guy? And do we side against
revenge sometimes, like. Like when it's not justified, like when somebody like couldn't save someone. I'm trying to think of, there's a movie I'm thinking of where like the hero couldn't save, like, the loved one of the villain back before, even though they tried. But then the villain didn't care or know that, so then they tried desperately to kill him still. There's a lot of movies like that.
Well, I'm up on the times. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy last night for the first time.
Nice.
First time. And the main bad guy in that, what was his name? Ronan.
Oh, yeah.
He was after revenge. He was going to destroy that whole planet.
Uh-huh.
Because of some, you know, thing that had happened in a peace treaty, and he felt it wasn't bad. But anyways, he was the bad guy, and he was seeking revenge, and we were against him. So I guess it's just all how we don't love revenge in and of itself. We just love how the revenge is painted and which side we're on.
Yeah, and I think that's like the big difference. Because I mean, you can look at any movie with a heroic character, and in most plots, they're gonna eventually they're gonna have some sort of revenge on someone that did something, and we always cheer. And I don't know, is it just like the perspective that the movie gives us that we're like on board for this, or
I think it's the justification behind it.
Do you think it's back to what I said earlier about people just want to see it, like to justify things in their own life that they can't get revenge for?
I mean, because
they just place themselves in the character.
Another movie I just thought of was Braveheart, right?
Oh yeah, Braveheart's a great one.
So his lady with the weird boobs in the lake,
lady,
gets killed pretty early in the movie. So then basically he revolts against Scotland. Against the Brits or whatever, and takes over the country again just because of that.
We're good at history on Jack of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Whatever. William Wallace, badass. But
any Mel Gibson movie, Patriot, same
there's
thing.
There's something about a loved one dying for no reason. Like
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapons.
Lethal Weapon, doesn't his wife die? And they
Mad
die?
Max. Mel remember. Gibson is the king of revenge. Man.
Yeah. King of revenge. Well, Patriot's the same thing. I mean, he loses his young son at the very beginning to the one guy. I don't remember his name. And then he kills Heath Ledger later. And he told him before, he's like, at the end of this thing, I'm going to kill you. And we're all for it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But Mel Gibson killed as many of those British people's families as the other guy did of the Americans. And we're not as pissed. And technically, the Brits were in the right for the laws that everyone had agreed to living. So, I don't know. Like, it's just a tricky thing. It's a tricky line.
Are you a loyalist, Ben? You sound like a loyalist.
Well, Trump's not my president. So, yeah, dude. Send us back. Just kidding. Trump is the president, guys. So, sorry.
Is he?
Well.
Just wanted to make sure.
Well, whenever we want to get Joe V. Taylor in a political debate, we'll let you guys know.
I don't want to get in.
So let's shift focus here. What about music? There's a little bit of a controversy we have here, a little debate. I think me and Tay have.
Okay. So Ben doesn't think any song that's talking about revenge on an ex-lover is considered.
No. I was talking about just like a bash song. Like where you're just like, for instance, Taylor Swift. She breaks up with, who is it? John Mayer. And she writes a song about John Mayer's an idiot. He's so dumb. He didn't do whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's revenge.
Okay. That's true. But I think a lot.
Maybe it's not successful revenge, but maybe that was the intent. Is to like expose him as a player and a, you know, a bad guy and whatever. But she's making money off it. She's profiteering off it. And then I don't think John Mayer hurt very much from that song. I mean, I'm pretty sure he moved on to somebody and then Katy Perry, which is a significant upgrade.
Huge upgrade.
Right? Right? Yeah.
The biggest. Man.
Maybe not yeah.
Just crushing it, John Mayer. Good for you.
Yeah, what does John Mayer have that everybody else doesn't? He does not seem to be hurting for the ladies.
No, he does not. He's a grade A all-star as far as going through celebrity.
Have you listened to his music? It's
no. Well, I mean, I've heard some, and it doesn't seem like anything I'd
it
want
kills
to
the ladies,
to.
Joe.
Your body is a wonderland.
Yeah. Oh, but that guitar playing, dude, it just makes some cream.
He's
love
a
it.
Good guitar player too.
Yeah, I guess.
But
he is a good director. I have listened to that John Mayer trio album, and he is very good.
So, Joe, do you think like that type of a song is a revenge play?
Oh,
It just doesn't seem to be a successful way of revenge.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I don't know if anybody's ever been truly burned because of some artistic endeavor. That'd be like, I'm going to paint a picture of you and hang it on the wall about, you know, what a bad person. You know, people are like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. Great, wonderful, thanks, cool painting, cool song.
Good for you. It makes the other person just look tiny when they do something like that.
A great example of a revenge song, though, by another female artist is Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Great revenge song.
I knew you'd reference this song. It's not a revenge song. She made money off of it.
Is it a revenge song, or is it a revenge video that kind of ties in? I mean, I don't know.
Here would be a revenge song for me, okay? It's like, let's say you're going out with this chick and you love her, whatever, and she has some dirty, deep little secret that's just so embarrassing, right? Like she's got a dead tooth or something, all right? And
Jewel, by the way, Jewel. You're dating Jewel.
So we're dating Jewel, and you find out she has a dead tooth, and she's like, "Please, I love you. Don't tell anybody about my dead tooth." And then she goes out and cheats with Blake Shelton or whoever the frick she goes out with. All right. And she just, you know, just totally throws you to the curb for no reason. You going out and writing a song and featuring it around her dead tooth and making a music video, zooming in on her face and showing like the dead tooth spot and making fun of her, that you could sell to me as a revenge
song. Okay. I thought we were talking. So you're talking about artists getting revenge on other people. You're not talking about like the context of the song as like a revenge song,
right? I don't think Carrie Underwood was getting back at anybody specifically.
Okay. I thought we were talking about the context of a song, like the song at face value, not like the context about who the artist actually wrote the song about. Okay, that makes more sense.
But even then, I'm in your scenario, Ben. Did she cheated on you with Blake Shelton and exposing her dead tooth? That doesn't seem equal at all. It just seems like a lame move because you're hurt. And then, I mean, who cares? I can pull out a dead tooth, but I can't pull out the hurt and the mistrust. You know,
It was a quick example made on the fly. And I guess my point is that it has to be something truly cutting and specific and I think true for it to have any weight in music form. I don't know.
Yeah. Movies are art, but it just doesn't seem to be enough.
Yeah.
I guess I just haven't seen anybody, you know, had their life ruined because of a song.
That's a good question. Has anyone's life been ruined because of a song? Besides our own from a Martina McBride song?
Yes, that's true. I mean, Phil Collins got away with that murder or watching that murder or whatever.
He did. He did at that lake in Ohio. It was a big deal.
It's an old wives' tale.
So apparently his. Oh, okay.
So I think we've come to the consensus that if you're going to get revenge, music's a poor form to do it.
Right. But it's a good way to make money.
It is a great way to make money. So if you want to get revenge on somebody by making money, make a song.
And I was going to bring this up later, but who loves revenge more than anybody in this world?
Ooh, a type of person or a specific person?
No, a type of person. But are just awful at it. Women.
That's what I was going to say.
Love revenge, right? But they are never good at it. Like that Carrie Underwood video, or how about the Taylor Swift video, Picture to Burn?
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, he's cheating on me, so I'm going to go burn pictures of me in his house. You're like, all right.
I hate your car. Your really car hurt me. Sucks.
Yeah. Your stupid pickup truck. You never let me drive it. Yeah, take this. You're like, that is the worst revenge. You're terrible. I went to dinner with some friends tonight, and thinking about the podcast, I said, hey, what are some examples of revenge from your own lives? And of course, they were just talking about things. And the wife of this couple said, well, if he cheats on me, then that gives me a kitchen pass to go cheat on him. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
But okay, what does that accomplish? And she's like, well, I just get to do it. I'm like, well, now two people are hurt. Granted, he shouldn't have done that. But now that whole Confucius thing about dig two graves. Now two people have done a wrong thing.
And you're going to feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah, you're not gonna. I mean, doing something wrong didn't make you feel any better. You were able to inflict that same pain, but like a weaker photocopy of that same pain, right?
Yeah. Because
you're like, haha, I did it too, and you're like, yeah, okay, but that was my idea, so you just copied me. So I don't know. What? Women aren't very good at revenge, is what I'm saying.
And that's a common plot in TV, though, is the man does something wrong and then they go off and cheat. And somehow it's, you know, being shitty. It just gives you a reason to be shitty if something wrong happened to you, you know?
Right. But they love it. They love it, but they don't seem to quite grasp the fullness of revenge. That's why I think men, like John Wick is over extreme and we're like, yeah.
So extreme.
And then
right?
Taylor Swift is going to, you know, invade his house and mess up his stuff. And you're like, all right. And girls are like, yeah, this is the best revenge anthem since Alanis Morissette. Yeah.
So why are girls allowed to just trash guys' stuff after a breakup? Or say they cheat. Say a guy cheats, right? They can. Yeah. They go to their apartment. They wreck their house. They key their car. They just go ballistic, right? Just leave a path of destruction. And men are just like, just don't come back. Please, please. But if a man did that to a woman, like, how much trouble would that guy get in?
Oh,
not to say, like, to justify, like, anything, to do anything wrong to women. We don't condone anything. You should never do anything wrong to women. But just this kind of seems unbalanced there as far as the...
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole
nother podcast. This is a messy subject. This goes deep.
You guys are punting. Yeah, we're just going to avoid that. But yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. If a man came and messed up, you know, he would be, it would be labeled abuse. It'd be stalking. It'd be breaking and entering. It'd be, you know, even if he just took her phone, you're like, hey, you cheated on me. I'm taking your phone. I'm going to run over. Well, now it's an invasion of privacy.
Well, that's a horror thriller movie right there. Like, that's a horror thriller movie. Now, if a girl wrecks a guy's house, it's usually played off as something funny. You know, it's like, ah, crap, you know, they broke in. No, can you believe it? She's crazy. You know, I don't know. I think it's funny. It's very different.
Yeah. So I wish I knew more about this, but Left Eye Lisa Lopez from 90s R&B supergroup TLC.
Yes.
She burned down Andre Rison's house. She burned down his house.
Wild.
And then, so whatever.
Did you see last week's Always Sunny, Joe? I know Taylor
has. Yeah, I have.
There's some revenge for you.
Oh,
I thought it was. Yeah. I think we won't spoil it for anyone, but
it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, spoil that stripper scene. Jeez.
Oosh.
Ugh.
That was dark.
For those of you who haven't watched the show, D has a fling with a male stripper, but then he says that by sleeping with her, he's hit rock bottom. So then D has this convoluted plan where she like starts building him up, gets his life back on track, and then
trying to help reconnect him with his
Dennis
daughter.
Dennis and Charlie go to male strippers, which...
It was dark. It was dark.
Anyway,
it was dark.
She invites his daughter to watch the stripper show at their bar, and the dad ends up giving his daughter a lap dance. And it's horrific.
And he doesn't know, and she doesn't know.
No,
until
I don't know until...
It's dark.
Ugh.
It was...
I want to talk about this off air, but remind me, when the next episode... Have you guys watched last week's? So when Dennis opens the crate and pulls out the gift, that may be... Emmy Award winning. His act. I rewound it and watched it three times.
It's
phenomenal. I was dying. So good. And Max like, do you want to shoot it? And he's looking down and he quietly, yes, I do. It's so great. Anyways, all right.
You feel things in that moment.
Yeah, you do. It's so great. So good.
People, watch the show.
Okay.
So
are we talking about revenge?
We do have revenge, but it all goes back to revenge.
Yeah.
See, this is where we need to have some joke just building up for this last moment where I just like burned Taylor so bad. It's like, hey, remember that time you did that when we were kids? But we don't have anything that good for you people, so sorry. So do you guys have any like lingering things you just like wish you could get revenge for? Like if you're being really honest, Taylor, you got your elementary school thing. Joe, anything?
You know what? Okay, I'll tell the story. This is a story of unsuccessful revenge, and it's the one that came to mind when I started thinking of like personal moments of revenge in my life. But I had a girlfriend for a few years, and she married somebody else while I was away. And it was, you know, hurtful and whatever. And but there's no way to get back at her, right? She's married. She just left me. So,
you at least shouldn't get back at her. So, yeah.
So how am I going to get back at her? Go ruin her marriage? I can't. So in just the most pathetic attempt of revenge, I, met up with her little sister.
No.
And took her up to the lake. And in my act of revenge was going to somehow hurt my ex-girlfriend by being with her little sister.
Yikes.
Spoiler alert, I didn't. I mean, I did
I
take her
wondering,
up to the lake.
I was wondering if this little sister was your wife.
No, yeah, no. She is not, no. I don't know. I mean, what would her older sister even think of that? Why would she care? She'd be like, all right, weirdo. What it really is pathetic. It's like, of all the people around you couldn't even get, I'll go outside of my family. This is pretty lame. So thankfully it didn't happen, but it was my one attempt at revenge that I kept on thinking. I'm like, ugh.
Were you going to take her out on a boat on the lake?
No, there was no boat. We're just going to, they're on the sand.
Didn't know if there was a implication there, you know?
No, I didn't know that rich. Especially at that time.
I know, like, it sucks, right? So, like, several years ago, there was a girl I liked. I took her on a couple dates. And then she got real distant. I was like, what's going on? And then one of my best friends was, like, real weird about it. He was like, yeah, I'm seeing somebody. I'm like, who? He's like, don't worry about it. It turns out my friend was dating this chick and not telling me. And he knew I liked her. I was like, what the hell?
Son of a bitch.
I was so pissed.
So you're mad at the dude, right?
Yeah. It's weird. It's different, I guess. But, like, I feel like romantic relationships are the cause of the majority of revenge.
So
I agree. Yeah. Romantic in real life. And then in movies, it seems to be death.
Even then.
Yeah.
Avenging of a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there a whole genre of girl movies where they just ruin guys' lives after?
Oh my god! Yes.
I mean, those are all justified as revenge flicks.
Women power movies. Girls
like
overcome
a
bad
John
breakup
Tucker Must Die, right?
That's
John Tucker Must Die. The other women are like it's just an endless amount of those movies. Mm.
They're all terrible.
They're not good.
No.
You know, the only revenge that I've ever been a part of was this one time in high school. These girls came and they put like, I don't remember what it was. It was like whipped cream or something all over friend's car.
Friend's car. Never mind.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to get your hopes up there.
That story went really great and then fell right off.
Not great. So they put like some random like junk on his car, you know, kind of like they called it dominating a car. Mm. And it was kind of annoying. And so we were like, well, screw them. You know, we're in high school. We're idiots. That's a freaking screw up their cars. So we went and we got this bag, like garbage bag, and we filled it up with like old cheese and compost and just all sorts of shit. And then my buddy was like, dude, I'm going to shit in this bag. And he took the bag.
Boy, a good thing you had that old cheese in there.
Kind of dropped it. Yeah, so he took it out in the field and he shit in this bag. And we took it over to this girl's house and we dumped it all over her car. Her car was a piece of shit, though. It was a terrible car. Okay. So it wasn't like it's not justified, but it wasn't like I dumped it on like a new Mercedes or something. So we put that on her car and booked it. And I felt terrible. I was like, we just put literal shit all over her car. These girls didn't know it was on their car until the next morning. And when they went out, they actually collected everything that was on the car and put it in another bag. And they didn't know there was feces in there. They put it in the bag and then left it in their garage because they were going to come back and dump it on our car again. And they just forgot about it. And then I guess 2 months later, they were like, something died in my garage. And they went in and they found the bag of shit they had left in there. So I want to say we won that one. Like, we appropriately got revenge and settled the score.
That's like a two-layered revenge. I mean, you got it, and then you got them again.
Doubled it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good story of revenge, yeah.
So
I wonder how many opportunities I could have for revenge, but I react too quickly.
You know? I forget immediately.
You know, I think of people who I have said something, and instead of waiting for a moment to embarrass them or, you know, to expose them, I just say something real quick, and I'm like, ha-ha, got him. When in reality, it didn't do anything.
So, like, my fantasies never involve, like, harming someone or, like, cheating on somebody and, like, cheating on somebody that wronged me or something. Like, not even close. All I want is just to zing them. Just get them with a great comeback and just be like, well, you know what? You're a bitch. And then everyone would just laugh and they'd go, ha, ha, ha. And that would be me just reveling in my glory. That's all I want.
That's your fantasy.
That's my fantasy. That's all I need. It's just a good laugh at some loser.
I have a dream of firing my boss at some point in my career.
What?
This actual boss, like, or just boss. Any boss?
Like my boss former is boss? Actually okay. But
yeah, a former boss?
Here's the joke, Joe. We're done with you on the podcast. You're out.
No, I'm assuming there's going to be a boss I hate at some point. And okay. I want to fire him one day. That's the ultimate revenge for me.
How do you want to do it? Do you want to, like, supersede him, like, go up the ladder and then be his boss and fire him? Or like, undermine him in front of, like, the board and expose him for being a bad boss?
I want to be his boss and get rid of him as his boss and say something real snarky that he used to say to me.
The zingers.
You guys have some pretty weird... You know, as someone who has done that, who... and you guys know who I'm talking about. Someone hired me, and then I went up and around him, and then he ended up working for me. Awkward. It's harder than you think, because in your heart, you're like, well, this guy actually gave me my first chance. He believed in me first, and I wouldn't be here without him. Yeah, true.
Yeah, you gotta have it by extension, you know? Like, you got hired by someone else, and then someone else became your boss, you know, that you just think's a douche.
Maybe you just leave and get a better job and leave them behind.
So. Buy out their company and then fire them.
Yeah.
The best image of that.
Isn't the revenge in that scenario, though? It's not the firing. It's the fact that you were better than that boss at one point.
Absolutely.
And the company liked you better and put you in charge of him. And that was the revenge, is that... Not the fact that you fired him, because that doesn't. But that he knew you had the power to do that. You had the ability because you were better than him.
The most badass moment that's I've seen on TV was in Breaking Bad, when Walt goes back and buys the car wash from the guy that was an asshole to him when he was just like a dryer and desk attendant.
Great pull. Great pull. Yeah.
So classic. And he got it. He got the car wash by really shady means. Like, it was wrong the way he got it back, but he bought the car wash as is. And the guy was like, oh, you know, like, this is awful. How could you do this to me? This is my life. And he's just like, I get it as is. This is my car wash now. And the guy that owned it had a dollar bill on the wall. That was his first dollar he earned at the car wash. And he wanted to take it. And Walt's like, as is, gets to keep the dollar. And then after the guy walks out, he breaks the glass. He takes the dollar and goes and buys a Coke and then drinks it. I know you hate that show, Joe, but that was so sick when he did that.
That is great. No, I didn't hate it. It was just overrated. But yeah, because it's not the dollar. It's not the value of the dollar. It's what the dollar represents.
Exactly.
The fact that he was able to take even that, even his first sell away from him.
And just drink it. Just buy a Coke. It was, it's the so great.
So good. Well, revenge.
Oh. Revenge. You know, I was thinking, is revenge a good thing? Is revenge a good thing? Should we try to seek out revenge?
It's a motivator, for sure. I think it's helped people win wars. That's for sure.
Every sports movie is basically made on a revenge plot.
Ugh. Aren't sports movies terrible?
Though? They really are.
That's why people love Rocky, because if you what's that Mark Wahlberg
Invincible?
Movie where he plays for the Eagles? I never saw it, but I guess I can tell you what happens at the end. He's going to win something, right? He's going to either make the team, or they're going to win the big game or something. The sports movies are the worst because they have that same plot. You're like, I get it. They're going to win. It's going to be this momentous over. And, you know, that's why Rocky was good, because at the end he loses. And you were like, what? Oh, my gosh. It's a sports movie where it didn't. But sports movies are terrible.
Well, I mean, look at Rudy. He doesn't even do anything. Like, oh, he got a tackle, and it had no impact on the game, and that was his 4 years he had spent, or, you know, all that time. Yeah. And so it kind of leaves the bar for sports movies to just be any sort of, just, it could just be a hair of a good event, and it's the whole movie, so.
But we love overcoming adversity, though, and wronging those that say that we couldn't do it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Taylor, who's your hero when it comes to revenge?
Liam Neeson in Taken.
No. Oh my gosh.
It's a revenge flick.
Not really. Yeah, it is. He's always reacting. Like, I don't see it as him, like, I don't know. I don't see it as revenge.
It's definitely revenge. He goes after those that kidnapped his daughter and kills all of them.
But each plot is revolved around him getting the thing he needed originally.
Right, but it's still revenge.
You know?
Yeah, it's what did we decide it was? Retribution and not retaliation? I don't know. Yeah, Taken's garbage.
Dude.
We're just taking five.
In all honesty, though, probably Mel Gibson in Braveheart. That's probably. He's the man.
He's the guy.
Besides John Wick. I feel like John Wick's the obvious one, but I'm going to go with William Wallace.
He's basic. Shoot. Wow. Well, guys, I hope you were able to get some of this hate out of your heart, kind of process some of the revenge feelings, because it's what have we learned today is that revenge doesn't solve anything, except when it does.
Hey, you know what? In Guardians of the Galaxy, there's that, you know, big muscle guy that's on the team. What's his name? Drax or Dax or something.
Yeah.
Drax the Destroyer. And he tried to get revenge against Ronan, and he couldn't beat him. And so then he pretty much destroyed Drax. And he tells Groot, once he's kind of realized it, he says, I was blinded by the hate, and I couldn't see what I was really trying to accomplish.
So there's
your deep thought.
Wow.
Or something like that. I don't know. I've only seen it once. But
that's good. That's a great place to end. Okay? People remember that going forward. But if you do come up with a great way to get revenge and get it, please tweet us. It'd be fun to hear it. I'd love it.
We want to hear your revenge stories.
What is the Twitter address? At @JONTPOD.
John Pod.
So but you say that, but people don't know how to spell it. So it's GJNT. Jack of No Trades acronym.
Pod.
Pod from podcast. Yep. So JONTPOD.
And what's yours specifically, Tay? Are you Tay at John?
Yeah, it's on our website. You can follow me down there.
That's right. Click below. Send us an email. Send us a tweet. Whatever you got. We want to get some more fan interaction. We don't get a lot of that. We know some people are listening. So, Joe, thanks for coming on, man. This was fun.
Thanks for having me.
We got to come up with some more great things to talk about. I thought we were going to get a little bit more petty on this podcast and talk about like hot girls or something, but you took it a whole nother way.
I know. I'm not ready to talk about hot girls yet.
Okay. Well, we're waiting for that.
In March. Maybe my appearance in March will be. And let me just tease it a little bit and see if I can do it. But it's called the Brittany Murphy effect. Now, rest in peace, Brittany Murphy. But you'll remember Brittany Murphy was in one of the Sin City movies. And that Ashton Kutcher movie, Just Married. And you think she's supposed to be cute, but is she?
Yikes.
Or is she unattractive and kind of cute? And there's this whole cloud of people that you're like, Kristen Stewart's not cute, right? Why are they telling me she is?
We're talking about a couple of tweeners here, aren't we?
I know. I question these things. Like, there's some that are like, yes, I get it, attractive. But it's the ones that are like, I don't don't know. I think they're just telling me she's cute, but she's not.
So it's Jennifer Lawrence for me. All right, well, that'll be on the docket, okay? We'll come up with a great criteria. We'll hash this out. Tay, thanks for everything, buddy.
Of course.
We'll see you all next week. Have a great one. We're out.
Oh, that's it.